Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Alan Wenzel, FreePod host, welcoming you to this extended interview as part of our FreePod news interview segments. Perhaps no facet of the entertainment industry has seen more changes in recent years than the movie-making business and the numerous movie-viewing options that are being made available to moviegoers across the country. Our own Lindo Theater remains a very popular movie-going destination for area residents. And today, I'm pleased to welcome our guest, Michael Schindler, who is the film programmer and special events coordinator for the family-owned theater chain, Classic Cinema. And of course, Freeport's Lindo Theater is a part of that chain's holdings. So, Michael, it's nice to have you here this afternoon.
Well, thanks for having me.
You were here earlier to help us introduce our May select picks, Alfred Hitchcock's Dial M for Murder, and we appreciate you spent a little bit of time talking to us after the movie today.
Yeah, you know, it's a movie which we showed in 3D. We don't do that too often, and you guys were asking to get a little insight into what 3D is for our guests, and I said, sure, why not? It's fun.
For those of you who haven't seen the movie in 3D, I don't know where you're going to be able to do this now that we've closed it out for today's session, but it'll be a great experience for any of you to see an Alfred Hitchcock movie, one of his better ones, I think.
It's really good. Yeah, it works well.
And the way that he does the movie in terms of taking this small set, if you will, or small space and making it seem much larger with all that he does. But that's conversation for another time, Michael. I'm here to talk a little bit about Classic Cinema and the movie-making industry and all that's going on in that world right now. Let's start with this. Can you tell me a little bit about Classic Cinema, the company? Tell us a little bit about who you are.
Yeah, so Classic Cinema is a company which was started by Willis and Shirley Johnson in 1978. They owned the Tivoli Building in Downers Grove, Illinois, which is sort of built around the Tivoli Theater. And they had a tenant who was running that theater, and the tenant left in the middle of the night. And now all of a sudden they had a movie theater.
Oh my gosh.
So they basically taught themselves how to run a movie theater and just kind of expanded, looking at, you know, historic theaters in the Illinois area, like the Lindo, which is over 100 years old, and just sort of like picked up one after the other over the years. And now we have 16 locations in the Chicagoland area. Their son, Chris Johnson, is the CEO. And we're going pretty strong.
A question I've always wanted to know, do you have a little different operating philosophy as a family-owned theater chain than some of the larger ones, you know, the AMCs and all the other big ones out there? Do you operate just a little bit differently in terms of your philosophy about the kinds of movies you want to make available to people?
I would say that we do. You know, certainly there's challenges, but there's also opportunities that exist by being a smaller chain like this. And I mean, one of the big ones is, you know, for the larger chains, because it's a national thing and because they need to sort of fit everything into a specific box, there's not a lot of opportunity for unique or individual programming based on the locations that they have. So, for example, the Select Pick series that you guys do is something that you're not really going to find at the bigger chains. Whereas we have, you know, 16 locations, and we can kind of tailor the programming to the audiences at each of those locations and sort of bring something unique to the table.
So in a way, you've created kind of a niche market for yourselves, offering things that others, other theaters would not be able to, or simply don't or can't. And in that sense, you are probably attracting some people attending your movies that, you know, because they're not available anywhere else. On the big screen.
Yeah, probably. You know, I mean, there are certain like nationwide things that happen, and especially with like repertory movies, like, for example, on June 5th, they're doing a nationwide release of Dogma from Kevin Smith, which is a masterpiece. And I highly, highly recommend everyone come to see it. And certainly when it was offered to us, we, you know, jumped at the opportunity. But there aren't too many wide releases of Dial M for Murder in 3D going on right now. No. So we kind of need to generate those on our own, you know?
I wouldn't be surprised if we were the only place in the country showing on big theater, big screen theater, Dial M for Murder in 3D. I can't imagine anyone else doing that today.
Probably not. We're probably the only place in the country that's doing that today.
Well, and I want to talk about that some more in terms of what you're doing beyond select picks. Here at the Lindo Theater, for example, you're doing something called classified cinema, which is a little different kind of I used to call them sneak previews kind of a thing. Can you tell us a little bit about that kind of programming and what you're doing with that, Mike?
Yeah, that's something which kind of just started. It's been gaining popularity over the past few months, I guess. And we developed our program and just started it up a couple months ago. The idea is a Monday mystery movie. So it's not every Monday. It's only when we have something that we can show and that we feel is worthy to show. But on select Mondays at 7 o'clock, we show a brand new movie, a movie which is not even out yet. So you don't know what it will be. We tell you the rating and we tell you nothing else about it. And you come, the tickets are discounted. They're only $6. So, you know, you're taking your chances, but it's not a big chance. Yeah. And you never know what you're going to see.
You might see the next blockbuster.
You might see the next blockbuster. You might see the next Oscar winner. I mean, there's certain things that, you know, or you might see a hidden gem, which might not get even played anywhere else or whatever. It's going to be your only chance to see that thing, you know. But yeah, it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Well, we've taken advantage of that. We've come. You know, what else are you going to do on a Monday night?
Right.
You might as well come out and see a mystery movie. And as you said, you never know what it's going to be. And so it's kind of a wow. It's one surprise after another, I guess, when you watch the film.
Yeah, and we've had some pretty cool movies so far. We showed Novocaine. Mm-hmm. We showed Drop. Mm-hmm.
The
Surfer, yeah, which I know you came to see. Mm-hmm. We just did we just did Fight or Flight, which is an action movie with Josh Hartnett, that's like one where, you know, it's an indie distributor. It's a movie which a lot of people don't know anything about, but the reaction from people coming out of the theater was just crazy because it really is kind of like Bullet Train on a plane, you know, like Josh Hartnett, you know, he recorded like a little thing afterwards. He's like, well, if you went to the mystery screening, now you know why you're not allowed to bring a chainsaw on the plane, you know? So, I mean, things like that. It's stuff that people wouldn't, you know, normally be able to find necessarily, or something. Sometimes, you know, it's the next big thing. You just never know.
So is that the plan, Mike, is to have it every other week, every other Monday, or it kind of depends? Maybe one a month, or maybe two or three in a month. Is that correct?
Right. We do them whenever we can. It's really hard to sort of program because it's not the type of thing where they're like, sign up for the Monday mystery movie and then, you know, we'll just give them to you. You've got to go to each individual studio and say, are you doing this? Or they'll come to you and you got to make sure that, you know, sometimes we've run into a problem where there are multiples going on the same night and you've got to pick and choose. It's really challenging. And sometimes it'll be like, you know, maybe two or three in a row. And then other times it might be, you know, one a month or something along those lines. I feel like it's probably like once every 2 weeks. Our next one is on May 19th, which is a PG movie. And then after that, the next one that we know about at least is June 2nd, which is an R-rated movie. And I can't say anything. All I'm going to say is like on June 2nd, I would be shocked if this movie does not get nominated for Best Picture.
Really? Well, there you go.
So
circle that date on your calendars,
June 2nd.
Folks. Yeah,
yeah,
June 2nd.
Yeah.
Let's talk for a moment about just booking movies in general for a theater like the Lindo Theater. What kind of, can you walk us through generally the process you use to determine what movies you're going to show at what times and when, what kind of restrictions that you have to abide by as you book these movies? I think our listeners might be interested in that.
Yeah, each situation is unique, and you kind of really need to look like a couple months ahead to figure out exactly what you're planning to do. And, you know, there's the tent poles, there's the big things which you kind of need to build everything else around. Things like Mission
Disney
Impossible.
Releases or something.
Yeah, yeah, Lilo and Stitch, Mission Impossible, all those things. And you got to, I guess, kind of like anticipate how big those are going to be to see how many screens you need to play that on. You know, for example, like Thunderbolts came out and we showed it on 3 of the 9 screens because we wanted to make sure that everybody had an opportunity to see it. But by doing that, you know, maybe you're not going to be able to open one of the smaller movies coming out that week. Mm-hmm. And then you got to look a few weeks ahead and say like, well, we do have room for this smaller movie this week, but next week we've got a big blockbuster and we're not going to have room to play that small movie for a second week. And usually we're required to play movies for at least 2 weeks. So there's a lot of... At the Lindo, it's easier than some of our locations because we have 9 screens and the seating capacities are pretty large, and we don't need to devote. I mean, we had some theaters where we were showing Thunderbolts on 5 screens.
Oh, wow.
You know, mm-hmm. we don't need to do that here because mm-hmm. we have the seats. Mm-hmm. And with 9 screens, that's a pretty decent amount. So we're able to fit in pretty much everything that we want to. So that makes it easy. We're able to play things like Fight or Flight here. Whereas like at a place like the Lake in Oak Park, where we have 7 screens and the auditoriums don't have as many seats, like we really couldn't afford to do that because we've got to fit in all of the big stuff, you know.
When you decide to show a movie on multiple screens, is part of the reason for that you want to make sure local folks have an opportunity to come here and not have to drive somewhere else to see a movie that's really big, or as you mentioned, one of the pillar or tentpole movies, that they have an option to do it here and stay here to see the movie rather than go somewhere else.
Right. I mean, there's two.
You give a variety of times, for example,
yeah.
Different showings and different times during the day.
Yeah, there's kind of like two elements to it. One is, you know, a variety of show times. If your movies, you know, like, you know, if it's, especially if it's a longer movie, like Mission Impossible is 3 hours long.
Oh, wow.
You know, like we can only show that like once every 3.5 hours. Right. So if you miss it, then you got to wait a long time. So that's part of it. Uh-huh. But another part of it is, you know, making sure that you have enough seats to accommodate everybody. You know, you could run into a situation like with Lilo and Stitch where it's a pretty short movie, but those auditoriums are going to fill up quickly.
Yeah, right.
And you want to be able to have something which starts soon that people can go to see, you know, with overflow and stuff like that.
Those kinds of decisions that you're making, why? What do you got, a big board somewhere? It's all on the computer, I'm sure, but to balance and juggle all of that, do you get any sleep?
not on Mondays. Yeah, you know.
Is that the day when the bookies come out?
That's when we do, yeah, because we wait and see how the weekend performs. And, you know, I mean, my Monday is basically I wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning and I check the email with all the grosses from the weekend so that I can see like, okay, this is what I can fit in. This is what I need to add some shows on. This is the movie which isn't performing and I can get rid of it. And I just kind of like mentally like look at the things where I think they're going to be a problem. You know, like Lindo, I don't have to worry about too much, but there's some locations like North Riverside where it's like, 6 screens and how many movies do we have?
Yeah.
You know, what can we do? And so I'm just kind of like mentally preparing. And then when I get to the office at, you know, 8 o'clock, I start going through and I just go through theater by theater and say, okay, these are the movies that we're opening. These are the number of screens that we have. These are the number of movies that we need to hold on to and just sort of, you know, put everything in place, see what we can add. Like, for example, you know, this week at Lindo, we weren't sure, like, could we play Fight or Flight and Clown in a Cornfield and Juliet and Romeo? Those are like 3 smaller movies. People are saying that are really enjoying them. You know, they're saying that they're really good, but they're the type of thing where, like, if there is something which is really holding up, like Sinners. I mean, who knew that Sinners was going to just keep on going like it's going, right? I mean, it's the word of mouth is so good. Oh, the buzz around
that movie is, really helped propel it, hasn't it? Yes.
And because of that, it's just not, people are coming. I mean, we have some theaters where we're selling out on like, you know, Monday nights and Tuesday nights and stuff like that. We're having to move it into bigger auditoriums and everything.
So you don't want that one go, then you want to keep that one.
Right. So if we were to get rid of that in order to put in like a smaller movie that might not do as well, that would be a mistake. So you kind of need to like fine tune all that. I go over it with our CEO, Chris, and he gives me his feedback. And then we need to start contacting all of the studios and booking it. And once we have it all booked, then my team of coworkers who help with the schedules will start going through and we'll put in like the individual show times for every single theater. And then we have all the special stuff like Select Picks, for example, or Fathom events or whatever. And we need to account for all that and just make, you know, manual tweaks, you know, on a day by day basis.
I know with some of our Select Picks, Jamie, you know, they'll come in pretty quickly after we're done with the afternoon showing because there's another movie in between.
sometimes you got to do what you got. You know, sometimes they'll say like, well, you got to play this movie two times a day. And it's like, okay, well, I guess we're playing it in between, you know, Dial In for Murder shows, you know.
And of course, the studios can make those kinds of demands or they, I assume, can withhold their movies from your from being available to you.
Yeah. You know, every movie has like a certain policy. Like if it's a new movie, you need to run it clean, as they say, which basically means that will be the only movie which plays on that screen for the whole day, right?
Okay.
So we can't take away shows to put in Dial M for Murder. But then as the movie progresses in its life and it starts to sort of die down, you know, the studios want to encourage people to hold on to it for as long as they can. So for something like, you know, well, this week, for example, Until Dawn, which is like 3 weeks old, it's, you know, getting towards the end of its life. And, you know, they know it's a horror movie. They know that it doesn't really need to play in the morning. Right. Yeah, yeah. So they'll let you put something like King of Kings with it in the morning, that kids will see. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you can do Until Dawn at night, like things like that. But each movie has a different policy depending on the studio. Some studios are a bit more strict than others. And some are intentionally flexible because they know that if they give you that flexibility, you will be able to take a chance with their movie and it could pay off. I mean, the example that I always use is Godzilla Minus One, which, you know, everybody loves Godzilla. And there's no reason to think that that movie is not going to do well, but it is a movie which is all in Japanese and it's coming out in December when you have all of these big Christmas titles. And when I'm booking it, it's like, I don't really know if I can, you know, I don't know how well these other things are going to do.
Right.
And they're like, just try it and see what happens. Worst case scenario, whatever. So we tried it. We put tickets on sale and all of that. I mean, we sold so many tickets before the movie came out and we're like, okay,
you
proved
okay.
yourself, you know, and we kept that movie forever, you know, and we probably wouldn't have even played it at a place like Lindo if they hadn't given us that flexibility to try it out and to begin with.
I'm going to ask you about the Lindo Theater here specifically in a second, but my observation is, Mike, that you've got this chessboard with all the pieces in the right places by Saturday, Sunday, and the Monday. You just wipe it clean and have to start all over again.
Yeah, I meet with my booker every Friday, and he's very particular about getting everything in place for how we think it'll be on Monday. And I'm always like, okay, that's fine,
but
we're going to have to just throw all this out on Monday and start from scratch. So, you know, but it's good to know because you do kind of see like, okay, well, worst case scenario, I'm going to need, you know, or best case scenario, depending on how you look at it, I'm going to need X amount of movies on X amount of screens, which means, yes, we can say right now, Fight or Flight will play no matter what. You know, we can confirm that thing early. And the earlier that we can do that, the better, because then we can get tickets on sale. We can tell people that it's coming and they can, you know to show up instead of it being just sort of a surprise when they get their email on, you know, Tuesday or Wednesday, you know. Yeah.
I want to ask you about the Freeport movie going market. Is our market different than some of the suburban markets that you service? I'm sure that we are in some ways. Can you talk about some of the differences you note between this market and your other markets at your other venues?
Yeah, I mean, every market is unique. You know, like even, you know, the one that really kind of stands out to me because I live within walking distance of these two theaters is the Lake in Oak Park and North Riverside in North Riverside. And, you know, the Lake in Oak Park, they like artsy movies. Mm-hmm. I mean, they do well with everything, horror mm-hmm. and stuff, but it's a lot of families. It's a lot of, mm-hmm. you know, like college kids.
Oh, sure.
And it tends to be a bit more of an artsy mm-hmm. community. Mm-hmm. So we'll make sure to play things like the Phoenician Scheme, even though we only have 7 screens. Whereas at North Riverside, it's all families, all kids, you know, and, you know, the sort of demographic is a lot different. Whereas like Oak Park is very diverse, but, you know, probably largely white. North Riverside, there's a large Latino population and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. all of these, you know,
it all has to be factored in.
Right. And so we end up, you know, I mean, there's something like the Phoenician Scheme, you know, we look at that at the Lake and we're like, of course we're playing the new Wes Anderson movie because yeah. it's always does well at the Lake. But if someone were to say like, you want to play Phoenician Scheme at North Riverside, we'd be like, what are you talking about? We would never do that in a million years, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, with Lindo, it's, I guess the movies tend to be a bit more, well, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say because we do have room to play pretty much everything here.
You do. With 9 screens, you yeah. have a lot of different options.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but I guess it's a bit more mainstream in nature.
Okay.
But, you know, I know that there is, you know, a pretty large Black population here. So we want to make sure that we are, you know, playing movies, you know, like Sinners and stuff like that, which we know are going to do well. You know, there seems to be a lot of interest in like faith-based movies.
Yes.
You know, whereas like at the Lake, like that just doesn't, doesn't work yeah. well at all. But here yeah. it works really well. So we want to make sure that we play those movies. You know, it really just kind of depends from theater to theater. But yeah, I mean, that is definitely a thing.
And one of the advantages of being a classic cinema and doing what you do is one size does not fit all. And
yeah.
you can make sure that you can find and book and screen the movies that audiences would like to see in a particular area. You have a lot more flexibility, it seems to me, than some of the bigger chains and movie theater chains.
Yeah, I mean, and it's nice, you know, since we are local, since, I mean, you know, I've been to, you know, every yeah. single theater, like we do have a sense of like what will yeah. do well at
You're
each theater.
You're close to your markets.
Yeah, not to mm-hmm. say that the big chains don't, of course they do.
Sure.
But, you know, I mean, you see it kind of like on the studio side of things when they're trying to get their movies in and they'll say like, oh, well, we need to play this movie everywhere because, you know, it's this movie. And you're
but
like,
you know better because yeah, it's yeah. your market. You're familiar with it. You say, well, that's not going to work well.
Right. Or the opposite.
Or it might work where, well.
Well, they'll say like, it doesn't look like it's going to do well because they'll have these, you know, comp titles, as they say, like movies that are similar to whatever they're booking that they can look at the historical data and say like, well, you know, Dunkirk did pretty well. So that means Oppenheimer will do well, that sort of thing. Right. And there's sometimes where they'll be looking at those and they'll get so laser focused on whatever those are that, you know, they'll skip something like Phoenician Scheme. I keep on bringing this one up just because it's a good example of like an artsy movie, which will do well commercially. But, you know, if the studio were to say like, I don't think that Phoenician Scheme would do well at the Lake because of this random movie that we're comparing it to. We'd be like, what? No, that didn't happen. They want to play it there as much as the rest. But I'm just saying as an example, you know.
Sure.
So sometimes you got to kind of talk them into that in certain instances.
Mike, you and the Johnson family, starting with Willis and Shirley and now Chris, have been so supportive of our classic film series, our select picks. You've been out here more than once now to help us introduce films. Willis and Shirley have attended in the past. And I think it's just a great opportunity for people to see some of the classics on the big screen and enjoy them all over again. Talk to me a little bit about the challenges you face in trying to book the older ones. Not the current ones now, but some of the older classic films. What do you run into when you try to find the movies that we'd like to show people?
Yeah, well, there is the practical sense of actually finding the movies, you know, and sometimes, you know, if it's Vertigo or something like that, you know, that's easy enough. We know who has it. We know that they'll give it to us and all the rest of it.
Sure.
But there are times where, you know, maybe it's a smaller movie where we don't know who owns it anymore, you know?
Well, the movie that we the Hitchhiker. Mm-hmm. Ida Lupino's movie. You had to go through a whole complicated series of events just to find who had ownership of the movie.
Right. That was one where it was hard, and it took a few years, if I'm not mistaken, because mm-hmm. I think it went into public domain and all the rest of it. And you know, a smaller distributor, Kino Lorber, had, you know, I don't know even how they got whether they worked with, you know, the family to get the negatives so that they could scan them and make decent copies, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. But they finally had, you know, good versions and, mm-hmm. you know, were booking them. You know, that's a really good example of how that can be a challenge. You know, some movies are just not available, even if they are super popular, whether it's because the studio, like, for example, Disney will not let theaters show their older movies.
We tried
movies.
To get the Mel Brooks
films, Young Frankenstein or whatever. Yeah,
and we just cannot do it.
Yeah, they just won't let you do it. And then there's sometimes, like, I mean, mine, you know, one which I'm dying to show is Boogie Nights, you know, which is Warner Brothers, and they would be more than willing to book it, but they don't have a DCP, which is the format that we use to show it. And they're working on it, but they need the director to sign off on it, and the director is making another movie, so he doesn't have time. And sooner or later, we will get this, and we will be able to. But, you know, lots of times it's just kind of waiting to see. And then you run into issues like, you know, for example, when Gene Hackman passed away, one of the critics who does a series in Elk Grove was like, "Well, we got to show Superman 2, but we can't because Warner Brothers is not letting anyone show any of the Superman movies now because they've got the new Superman coming out, you know?
Right.
So it's always sort of a challenge in terms of that stuff. But
well, we've wanted Superman for 3 or 4 years here. Mm-hmm. And it's been in production. The reboot has been in production for how long? And it seems like we've been trying to get that one for a while and can't because they're not going to put the old one out when the new one's just around the corner.
Yeah, it depends. I think once the new one comes out, then they'll say available. You know, now you can show it again, but it's, you never know.
Well, the Gene Hackman, gosh, we'd love to do the French Connection some year.
Yeah,
I like the movie Night Moves. Gosh, that's such a fun one. And what a great actor he was. The Conversation, you can go right down the line.
Yep.
We're formulating our list for the next couple of years, Mike, as we talk.
Yep.
But we're getting close here and I appreciate your time, Mike, sitting down and talking with us. As a film, you just strike me as someone who knows so much about movies, not only the old ones, but the current ones, and you're a real film aficionado and film buff. What are some of your favorite movies or favorite actors, actresses? You know, who do you put at the top of your favorite list?
You know, I mean, Paul Thomas Anderson, who did Boogie Nights, he's to me like the absolute best filmmaker in the world. And it's hard for me to pick one of his movies, but Boogie Nights and Magnolia, which I see as kind of a pair. They're two of my all time favorites. And anytime that he has a new movie coming out, it's sort of like the event of the year for me or whatever. He's got One Battle After Another coming out in September with Leonardo DiCaprio. It looks like it's going to be his biggest movie to date. And I'm very excited about that one. You know, other movies which are sort of at the very, very top for me are The Empire Strikes Back, Kill Bill.
Oh, yeah.
And then Clerks, you know, by Kevin Smith, because that was really sort of the movie that I saw as a kid that made me think like, this is something that you could do or whatever. And, you know, I mean, it just sort of sparked my imagination in a lot of ways. So, yeah, I mean, those are kind of the big ones for me. And I mean, there's definitely actors that I like, you know, like whether it's Ed Harris or Julianne Moore or whoever. But to me, I get much more excited about filmmakers. And that's, you know, Paul Thomas Anderson, mm-hmm. Quentin Tarantino, Steven Soderbergh mm-hmm. is the absolute one of the absolute best. But
still doing amazing things after, what, 40 or 50 years.
He's still at it. I mean, he's had two movies this year, and he's got a third one coming out at the end of the year. How many filmmakers do you know have three movies in a year? That's
insane.
And here's
a guy that's always pushing the envelope in terms of his filming style and techniques, you know, making entire movies with an Apple, you know, with an iPhone, you know, Pixel 8, you know, all this amazing stuff that he does.
He's so good. Just,
yeah, he is.
And he's not precious about it. You know, like Paul Thomas Anderson, like anytime he has a movie come out, it's an event because it only happens once every 3 or 4 years because it's such an ordeal and a process. Whereas Soderbergh's like, I'm going to make this movie and it'll take me like, you know, a couple of weeks and then I'll move on to the next thing and maybe it'll work, maybe it won't, but then there'll be another one. I mean, three movies in 1 year. That's crazy, that, you know, and it's not the first time he's done that. So
let me, I thought of one more, another question. This is going to go on for a long time here unless we watch the clock here a little bit, Mike, but I have another question. What do you see as the future of in movie theater viewing of films? You know, we have so many streaming services now and so many options for people to watch movies other than going to a theater. Is there still a future for the big screen in-person viewing, do you think? And what are the trends suggesting that that may or may not be something that's going to increase or decrease?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think if you were talking to Chris, our CEO right now, who's been, you know, in the business since, you know, 1978, he could probably list for you all of the times when theaters were declared dead.
Well,
you know,
VHS,
whether it's because
out.
DV came out first, VHS, DVD, cable, whatever. Now it's streaming, right? And certainly, I mean, those things do impact stuff, right? But the reality is, I mean, you know, like I think George Lucas has said, you know, like people can cook at home, but they still like going to restaurants.
Yeah, still like going out to eat. That's a great analogy.
You know? Mm-hmm. And I mean, you get, for, I mean, yes, it is, you know, theaters are the only place where you can see Sinners, for example, right now. But also, like experiencing a movie like Sinners in a packed crowd, you're not going to get that at home. I mean, we were just talking about this the other day with like Fight or Flight, where, you know, I didn't get to go to the Monday screening because I was busy doing the bookings. I'm always there until 9 o'clock at night doing that. But I watched it at home because they sent it to me so that I could see, you know, just see what it was and see, you know, that kind of thing. So I watched it on my couch and it was very enjoyable. But, you know, then my coworker comes back and he's like, I saw it in this, you know, audience with 50 people and they were going nuts.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's a whole different experience, you know?
That communal feeling of everybody's experiencing the same emotions at the same moment. The ones that always attract my attention are the moments in the movie that are quite serious. Everything gets real quiet. And then suddenly it's like, you could hear a pin drop. Everybody, you know, everybody is feeling, sensing the same kinds of things that you are during this moment in the movie. And that kind of communal experience, where else do you go to have that? Unless it's a sporting event or something. But it's just an amazing feeling knowing that we're all in this together.
That's true. Yeah, I saw Warfare recently with a sold out crowd and just everyone sort of like holding their breath at the same time and cheering and doing, you know, everything. I mean, it was really intense.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It certainly tells us we have a lot more in common than sometimes we give ourselves credit for. That we have those human experiences and human emotions that bind us together. Mike, it's been great talking with you here and spending some time learning a little bit about the insides of bringing movies to a theater and the movie business. Do you have any final thoughts or final words for our listeners, Mike, as we sign off from this extended interview?
I guess I would just say, you know, thanks for coming to see movies. It's, you know, something, if we didn't have people coming to see them, then we wouldn't be able to show them, you know? And thanks for that, for 100 plus years here in Freeport. I mean, there's not that many theaters that exist that long. So it's
true.
Pretty,
and I believe
special.
The Lindo Theater remains the second most visited spot down in downtown Freeport after the post office.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah. So you're doing good work, you, and give our best to Chris and the rest of the folks at Classic Cinema. And thanks again for your time and happy movie viewing.
Thanks. You too.
If you'd like more information about movies at the Lindo Theater, visit their website at classiccinemas.com. This is Alan Wenzel, reminding you to tune into our regular news podcast beginning at noon on Thursdays on all major podcast platforms, or by going to the websites for Free Pod or for WNIJ Public Radio in DeKalb. In-depth interviews drop every Tuesday at noon in those same locations. And as always, our thanks goes out to the Mass Communications Department at Highland for producing these podcasts for Free Pod, and to the many volunteers who are working to bring you the news you have been missing.